107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It was a weekend of deadly tornadoes in the nation's midsection. More than 130 tornadoes reported since Friday.
At least four people were killed from the storms in Oklahoma, including a four-month-old. The National Weather Service says a tornado that was at least EF3 strength, packing winds up to 165 miles per hour, destroyed the town of Sulphur. Roofs ripped off, homes demolished. In Iowa, several people were injured and one person killed in Minden, where officials say nearly half the city's homes have been destroyed. And authorities in Nebraska say more than 150 homes were damaged in Douglas County.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. A Virginia man has become the fourth American to be arrested in Turks and Caicos in the Caribbean for bringing bullets into the country. Turks and Caicos bans private ownership of firearms and ammunition. The Oregon Lottery says it will present the winner today of the $1.3 billion Powerball drawing from April 6th. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin next week, which suits Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler just fine.
The more they find out what Donald Trump is promising to do to Americans if he wins again, the more voters move towards Democrats.
Republican Chair Brian Schimming says President Biden visits Wisconsin so often because he's in trouble here.
It's not because they're confident in Wisconsin. It's because they know they're in trouble in Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that.
The two spoke at a WISC Politics luncheon Thursday. Four Wisconsin technical colleges will use $75,000 to train young firefighters. The Youth Volunteer Firefighter Training Program aims to boost recruits for rural volunteer fire departments. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face the Rays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Tampa Bay Rays tonight at AmFam Field. Their crew losing 15-5 yesterday to the Yankees. New York's Anthony Rizzo with his 300th career home run. How did the Brewers starter Tobias Myers do? Pat Murphy.
He's got five major league innings under his belt, and he did his job. He got us to our one-inning relievers in a 5-5 game. Yes, they hit some balls hard. He did his job.
The Brewers' Jake Bowers with a three-run homer. Then in the ninth, had to move from first base to the mound to pitch the final three outs. NFL, the Packers drafting 11 new players, six on defense, five on offense. Rookie minicamp coming up next weekend. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers, 125-113. Damian Lillard and Giannis were out. What about Chris Middleton's ankle or Patrick Beverley's rib injury?
I don't know. I don't even want to know. I have not talked to our medical guys because I wanted to have some good news for about 5 minutes.
Mets Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk live with former and maybe future Congressman Peter Barca about his decision to run this fall in Southeast Wisconsin's 1st District.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles today. Our high 55 this afternoon. The wind out of the south becoming west at 10 to 20. Tonight, clearing, becoming partly cloudy after midnight. Our low 39 tomorrow. Sunshine, late day and nighttime thunderstorms. Our high tomorrow, 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates. More Trump trials in Manhattan. We'll find out who's on the prosecution's witness list. Tune in, Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
She's sweeter than a glass of chocolate milk and louder than a morning rooster. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
All right, rainfall reporters, what you got? Welcome in. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. 1.2 inches of rain in my rain gauge on the west side of Madison. That's total for the weekend. I see Mark in Fitchburg picked up better than 2 inches of rain, but that was even as of Saturday. What you got? Our talk text line is open for you, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. We do have more rain coming our way about midweek with thunderstorm activity expected on Thursday. Today, everybody just cloudy skies, still a little on the breezy side. Winds today out of the west-southwest gusting over 15 miles an hour. That means there's small craft advisories for folks along the lakeshore. 52 is our expected high today. A little warmer in the Madison area, maybe around 66. Warmer yet in the Milwaukee area, 69 degrees. Tomorrow, sunshine and in the mid to upper 60s. Wednesday, partly cloudy, but temperatures will easily be in the 70s. And then, like I said, Thursday, we've got more showers and thunderstorm activity back in the forecast. Tumuk on the way with that. We're introducing you to another one of our Alice in Dairyland finalists. They're on their way to Door County Friday to begin the final phase of their interviews. We're talking today with Katrina Hosley from Denmark. Tess Kirkson from the Wisconsin State Fair is going to join me early this morning because they're all excited about a big event happening at State Fair Park in West Alice tomorrow. And it still involves animals and kids. That's all I'm going to say. Tess will tell you the rest. And we are talking more about this severe weather stretch that's coming into Wisconsin. You know, some folks in northeast Wisconsin went without power a couple days earlier this year when snow took out storm lines. You don't want to be in that position again. Jeff Melcook from A1 Electric in Monroe has got some tips. If you rely on electricity to get your job done, stick around.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our base light product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Base light also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
A term in a farming practice we hear more about all the time, biologicals. I'm Bob Bosol at the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. We talked about biologicals recently with agronomist Matt Omakin of Short Lane Ag in central Wisconsin. Matt told us it is a very big topic.
For instance, if somebody was going to show you an image of all the various companies and entities that have invested and have been producing biologicals, it couldn't fit into one single sheet. It's hundreds upon thousands of different companies and entities that have been investing, researching, and producing biologicals. It became a strong talking point probably about like 6 years ago, I would say, but honestly, the discussions kind of started 10, 12 years ago, where there was a few products coming out, like, you know, Quick Roots was still a big thing, more and more different formulations of soybean inoculants were being produced, meaning longer shelf life, more bacteria, actually taking a particular attention of what bacteria goes into it. And biologicals have been used in the agriculture field for a long, long time, but mostly has been limited to just seed inoculants, whether it's for corn, soybeans, small grains. But now, through decades of research and investment, and I'm talking billions upon billions of dollars by the industry, we're starting to see the fruit of all that hard work and research. And we're starting to see just wide variety, different kind of products and materials, and in different application forms. So for instance, there's dry formulations, there's liquid formulations, some that go on foliar, some that go in furrow. So when we're talking about biologicals, we're talking about living organisms that create a symbiotic relationship or are a positive host to the cash crop or the main crop to create higher yield potential, better plant health, and a positive response to negative environments, whether it's wet, cold soil, whether it's nematodes, insects, et cetera, et cetera.
As we look at the biologicals on that, the long-term value of biologicals are what?
The formulations and the packaging, everything is relatively new, but a lot of the inert ingredients are decades upon decades old and have been limited to just small research plots. As of right now, when I work with growers, it's in-season applications, in-season results. There hasn't been enough plot data or enough field research to showcase that, you know, once these things are put into the ground, they'll keep reproducing year after year after year. 100% of the time, they're put in that ground, they're used that season, and then you got to replenish it for the next year. There's two different pathways people are using it. One is preventative action, meaning they know they're going into a field system where, let's say, soybeans are going into white mold or corn's going into some heavy insect or fungi activity, and they want to create an environment that has more consistency and eliminate all the negative impacts that can happen to that crop. So that's one path. Another path is basically to see what more they could get out of it. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to a farmer, it's about profit per acre, right? So you're going to look at different avenues, methods, and ways that you can increase that profit margin. So if you could take a product that has an economic value, meaning that it has high efficacy, meaning like it works consistently and you get a consistent result, and it's at a good cost value. And sometimes those are both of the same, but those are two main ways that I see people using them. And if I was going to give anybody advice on using biologicals, try the product and make sure you grow your salesman or your agronomist on the best method of application. And then when you're putting it into your field, leave a test strip. And I'm talking in-field. Don't do a field-by-field comparison. So if you have 40 acres, just leave a couple passes where you're not putting that product on. That's the only way you're going to see if that product is a good fit for your field systems. By far and away, that's the most effective thing that a farmer could do. Don't wait for other plot data. Create your own.
So what biologically works better in Wisconsin, in our climate, our soil environment, with the bugs and weeds and things like that we have? What products have you found work best in our corn, soybean, our normal rotations?
Besides your main cash crops having an immediate response, the best method of application has been if that product can get soil contact, whether it's applied early through like a herbicide early burn down, so like there's not as much plant material to catch it and then more of it can hit the soil, or in furrow application. So that would be the first thing that I would say. If it can get into the ground, that is by far the most effective way, because then that stuff can start growing, colonizing around the plant, and that's where it works the best, is when that seed is a seedling and it's emerging, and that's where it's the most vulnerable. So that would be number one.
Matt, the bottom line is then by using biologicals, we're making a better bottom line. They're making the crops perform better, yield more, and keeping weeds, insects in check.
That's the main thing, too, is that somebody could be looking at this from, you know, like a backed up viewpoint and say, like, these are just bugs in the jug. This is just a Band-Aid addressing a bigger problem that could be from, like, poor rotations, tillage practices, loss of soil profile structure, all that kind of stuff. But you can't deny that, yes, these products do create yield increases, and we do see that there's lots of examples of where we see better plant health and stress mitigation. So, like, for example, like we did a trial on Heads Up last year on a soybean seed treatment, and its big call to action is mitigating white mold damage on soybeans. Well, we didn't see white mold in this field, but yet we saw 4 to 5 bushel increase where we had this Heads Up. And we noticed that those plants had better plant health, they didn't dry out as fast, and they had better pod fill. So that's the other thing is that once you start kind of shopping through and really doing the research of, like, what makes up these biologicals, you can find these products where, like, you get really good results and you get basically a stress mitigator to create better consistency for that plant. And that's the other thing is that just because it says a biological doesn't mean it's going to work. You got to do your due diligence of asking, I want to see what's in this thing. I want to see the bacteria. I want to see the count. I want you to tell me how I can take mix this. For example, in Vita, once you crack that jug open, you start a clock. Like, it's living bacteria, and you got to handle it really, really specifically. A lot of times where people say, like, hey, Invita didn't work for me, is because it was mixed wrong, and the bacteria got cold-shocked, or it got shocked in general, and then they just died. Versus a product like Maneuver that's in a pill bottle form, 6 grams per acre, it's in spore form. It's a pretty robust formulation in spore form, and it's really hard to kill bacteria when it's in that formulation. You can put that into anything. And the other thing is that you can find some products where it doesn't list what's in it. It just says naturally derived products. Like, you don't want to trust that. You want to have something that's got some research behind it. It showcases what's in there, and then ask case studies on this to see if this works.
Matt Omakin with Short Lane Ag in Colby and other areas around central Wisconsin with biologicals. Again, do your homework. They work. But like every other product on the farm, you have to use them the right way. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosol.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition. It's culture. It's food. It's beer. You know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Schlinda by Reeseville had about 5/10 of an inch and says foggy this morning. I had 1.2 in my backyard on the west side of Madison. We'll talk weather with Stu Muck in a moment. If you want to get your rainfall reports in right now, the number, toll-free, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You know, this is the severe weather time of the year for a lot of folks in Wisconsin. Fortunately, Wisconsin did not see the tornadic activity that they did elsewhere, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be prepared. A fellow named Jeff Malcook can tell you all about it. He's a construction manager with A1 Electric in Monroe, and he says now is really the time to make sure all of those items you're going to need just in case of severe weather are prepared.
There's always something more important that day than going around and checking the poles or checking the wiring, looking up, seeing if the wires are sagging, seeing if you've got a busted support, because there's no downtime on a farm. It's always go, 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 go. There's always something to do, especially this time of year. But we are seeing a lot of rotted off poles where literally the only thing that's holding the pole up is the wire stretching between two buildings or two points.
Yep. That's Jeff Melkirk, who is with A1 Construction Monroe. So be proactive. Take the time. And he says, when disaster occurs, make sure that generator's ready.
Just making sure that your generator, if you're running one that's PTO-driven, have it looked at once in a while. Every year would be great, but every couple years at least, have it taken in, put on a load test, make sure that everything's still in operational order, not so that the day you need it, it is operational. And also be aware that, you know, as you do facilities upgrades, you should be looking at, okay, is my standby electrical system big enough to handle the loads that I've added?
Yeah. Jeff Malkook with some good points. You know, he said the other thing is, remember, if the power does go out, don't try to run the entire farm at once. Farm generators, he said, were never sized to run the milking equipment, ventilation equipment, feeding equipment, water system, and the entire house all at once. So maybe use that opportunity to check on that today. We're checking in on weather now. Compure Financial Ag Weather Monday. Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, along with us. You heard some of the reports that I got. I forgot some folks did pick up hail over the weekend. What other reports do you have?
Oh, I had about 1,400 some inch in my gauge. From what I can tell now, La Crosse had about an inch and a half, a little over an inch and a half. Milwaukee hasn't been quite that fortunate, somewhere around 4 or 5 tenths, at least from Friday into Sunday night. So, you know, rainfall amounts are all over the board. One is going to be bigger than the other. It just was that kind of a system. In fact, the system this morning is still in Minnesota, and there's kind of a warm front right over towards southern Wisconsin, but most of the rain has been pushing through. There's a narrow band from O'Donnell around Monroe, just up to west of Madison, up into the central parts of Wisconsin. A little rain from southern Lake Winnebago, Fond du Lac, and down toward Milwaukee. The heavier rain pushing out over Lake Michigan this morning. And there's some rain up north of Chippewa Falls back into Minnesota. With that low moving east and northeast, I expect that rain will push through today. A little patchy fog, more likely something to think about this morning. And then a little light rain around yet for later today or into the nighttime. We dry it out somewhat heading through Tuesday. Temperatures stay mild. That's all great. Another low approaches Tuesday night. Some showers may last early Wednesday, and then periodic rain possible on toward Wednesday night right to the end of the week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Any lender can tell you about banking, but few know the business ins and outs of farming and ranching. That's where Compere Financial stands apart. We are here with unparalleled ag industry expertise, a forward-thinking mindset to identify your challenges and opportunities, and the ability to support smart decision-making for your operation. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, a little rain yet this morning, some fog and clouds, of course, calling a mostly cloudy day still. Rain will gradually end. We'll end up in the upper 60s, could be a 70 here or there today. South winds becoming even southwest, 5 to 15. Partly cloudy overnight, clearing a bit, down in the mid-40s. That's about normal or above. West winds, 5 to 15. Mostly sunny Tuesday, a drier day. A lot of us right around 70, and west winds at 5 to 10. But Tuesday night, showers, maybe a thunderstorm. Late in the night, early into Wednesday morning, that rain chance around. And by Wednesday, some sun returns. Could be a little rain again later in the day, about 70 or low 70s, Pam. Northwest winds 5 to 15. A little more likely we see more measurable rain again Wednesday night into Thursday.
Stephanie and Charity are out in Washington, D.C. with other farm broadcasters for our spring conference, and they were telling me that the coolest it's going to be in Washington, D.C. while they're there is 87 degrees.
Oh, man, that sounds like summer.
I said to them, I'm glad it's you guys. I'll stay back here and do the work. You guys go out there and walk around on the concrete at 87 degrees on the cool day. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, buddy, good enough. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Appreciate it, Stu.
All right, see ya.
Stumacher, Ag Meteorologist, with your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com and find out more. Again, rainfall reports, thank you so much. I'm checking in. Roxbury, 0.6 inch in the course of the time. So send them in, 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Justice Department announced changes to its voting rights information and violation reporting page on April 17th, including a new guide on voting-related language assistance and a video explaining how to report voter intimidation. The updated page, justice.gov/voting, includes voting rights guides on Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and other voting laws, access for voters with disabilities, election monitoring, state voting rules for people with criminal convictions, and several other topics. New in this update is an explainer on voter intimidation, including what constitutes threats, obstruction, or deliberately false information about the time, manner, or place of voting to prevent people from casting their ballots. A companion video explains how to report intimidation to the DOJ. Another new section gives guidance on Section 203 of the Voting Rights Act on accommodations for non-English-speaking voters, referred to as language minority citizens. This group includes Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, and Alaskan Natives. An existing guide concerning federal constraints on post-election audits was also updated, as well as the DOJ's guide to voting under the Americans with Disabilities Act and other federal rules. Instructions and points of contact for reporting voting rights violations are also listed. We have a link to justice.gov/voting at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Matt Mayer on air.
We Energies said the raccoon came into contact with some equipment in a substation. I just have this vision of this raccoon being egged on by his buddy raccoon going, touch them both. See what happens. Do that. Then touch that one.
They're not cute. They're not cuddly. They are disease-ridden, opposable thumb-having little trash pandas.
Matt Mayer on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It was a weekend of deadly tornadoes in the nation's midsection. More than 130 tornadoes reported since Friday.
At least four people were killed from the storms in Oklahoma, including a four-month-old. The National Weather Service says a tornado that was at least EF3 strength, packing winds up to 165 miles per hour, destroyed the town of Sulphur. Roofs ripped off, homes demolished. In Iowa, several people were injured and one person killed in Minden, where officials say nearly half the city's homes have been destroyed. And authorities in Nebraska say more than 150 homes were damaged in Douglas County.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. A Virginia man has become the fourth American to be arrested in Turks and Caicos in the Caribbean for bringing bullets into the country. Turks and Caicos bans private ownership of firearms and ammunition. The Oregon Lottery says it will present the winner today of the $1.3 billion Powerball drawing from April 6th. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Donald Trump campaigns in Wisconsin next week, which suits Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler just fine.
The more they find out what Donald Trump is promising to do to Americans if he wins again, the more voters move towards Democrats.
Republican Chair Brian Schimming says President Biden visits Wisconsin so often because he's in trouble here.
It's not because they're confident in Wisconsin. It's because they know they're in trouble in Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that.
Two spoke at a WISP Politics luncheon Thursday. Four Wisconsin technical colleges will use $75,000 to train young firefighters. The Youth Volunteer Firefighter Training Program aims to boost recruits for rural volunteer fire departments. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers face the Rays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers and Tampa Bay Rays tonight at AmFam Field. Their crew losing 15-5 yesterday to the Yankees. New York's Anthony Rizzo with his 300th career home run. How did the Brewers starter Tobias Myers do? Pat Murphy.
He's got five major league innings under his belt, and he did his job. He got us to our one-inning relievers in a 5-5 game. Yes, they hit some balls hard. He did his job.
The Brewers' Jake Bowers with a three-run homer. Then in the ninth, had to move from first base to the mound to pitch the final three outs. NFL, the Packers drafting 11 new players, six on defense, five on offense. Rookie minicamp coming up next weekend. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers, 125-113. Damian Lillard and Giannis were out. What about Chris Middleton's ankle or Patrick Beverley's rib injury?
I don't know. I don't even want to know. I have not talked to our medical guys because I wanted to have some good news for about 5 minutes.
Mets Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Join us on our next show. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us with a look at the weather for the week ahead.
And Gary Jaswicki is in to help celebrate the 30th anniversary of the polka becoming the state dance. Don't miss it.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings 6 till 9. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with a few off and on sprinkles today. Our high 55 this afternoon. The wind out of the south becoming west at 10 to 20. Tonight, clearing, becoming partly cloudy after midnight. Our low 39. Tomorrow, sunshine. Late day and nighttime thunderstorms. Our high tomorrow, 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
It's a polka party, and for good reason. 30 years ago, legislation making the polka our state dance became official in Pulaski.
I think everybody in Pulaski showed up in Zielinski Hall or on the streets because it was a polka day celebration.
That's then-Governor Tommy Thompson who signed the legislation in April 1994. But do you know who got the barrel rolling on the idea in the first place? The Wisconsin Polka Boosters, a class of second graders, or the State Folk Museum? The answer coming up.
It's tradition, it's culture, it's food, it's beer, you know, heritage.
Heritage back to the 1840s when the polka became popular with Europeans and came to America with them. So who started the Make Polka Our State Dance movement? A class of Madison second graders, but the Boosters and Folk Museum supported those efforts. It's a cultural slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow Is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't drive high. You can run, but you can't.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Yankee.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, and the wind is going to be blowing again today out of the southwest up to 16 miles an hour. That's got a small craft advisory out all along the lakeshore. Looking for temperatures today only in the upper 50s for the La Crosse area, mid-60s for the Madison area, and closer to 70 degrees in southeast Wisconsin. Sunshine tomorrow and the low 70s maybe. And then Wednesday, sunshine as well. We do have another chance of thunderstorms popping back up in the forecast coming up a little bit later in Thursday's forecast. So today is the 29th day of April. What can I tell you? On this day in 1968, the musical Hair went to Broadway. It was all about the peace and love movement around the Vietnam War. Hair goes to Broadway on this day. Back in 1968. On this day in 1992, all kinds of riots erupted in Los Angeles. It was after the Rodney King trial on this day back in 1992. Happy birthdays today. Comedian Jerry Seinfeld, who was just in Green Bay recently, he turned 70 years young today. Daniel Day-Lewis, great actor, 67. Michelle Pfeiffer, she's 66. And Uma Thurman turns 54 today. And now you know. We've been working to let you know a little bit more about the Allison Dairyland finalists that are headed to Door County on Friday to begin the final phase of their interview process. Saturday evening, the finale in Sturgeon Bay. Today, we introduce you to Katrina Hosley. She is originally from Denmark and a farming operation there. Currently a student at UW River Falls, getting ready to graduate with degrees in Ag Business Communications and Ag Management. She explains a little bit about her background and how she became motivated to become our next agriculture ambassador.
Growing up in agriculture, it was always natural to find that career in the ag industry, but I didn't know what that necessarily looked like for me. So I jumped up to the University of Wisconsin River Falls, found that love for storytelling through my involvement in 4-H and FFA, and now I'm a fourth-year student there pursuing a degree in agricultural marketing communications and agricultural business. One thing that I really like to point out is that when you look at the agricultural industry, 1 in 9 jobs relates to agriculture, and they're not all in production agriculture. We need all kinds of kinds, whether it be bankers, marketers, or people in the processing, all kinds of kinds, like I said. So that's one thing that I really look forward to throughout these upcoming months is promoting that the Allison Dairyland program connects with people of all kinds, all backgrounds, and encourages them to get involved in agriculture, whether it be having conversations with their local producers or just having that understanding of where their food comes from when they are in the grocery store.
You know, I always think it's a benefit coming from agriculture, but it also can get a little frustrating, like you said, when you know so much, but our consumers and a lot of the people around us don't.
That really is tough, and that's what I'm here to do today, is to share that true and inclusive story of agriculture, whether it be with fourth grade students through the Expedition Agriculture Program, or with local consumers at a farmer's market, just having a conversation, asking them about their experiences in ag, what do they know, and then tailoring that conversation to fit their needs, and how can I best be an advocate for agriculture, putting it into terms that they understand, they comprehend, and putting agriculture in a light that fits them best. How can they most actively get involved in the industry is something that I greatly look forward to.
Yeah, no, Alice gives you so many different opportunities. When you lay awake at night thinking about, I would, if I could, what kinds of things pop to your mind?
Well, there are quite a few. One thing exactly would be to really hone in on that place for everyone in agriculture. If I could, I would love to elaborate on the social media pages more about the variety variety of careers in agriculture. Looking at the 2022 census that just came out, the opportunities for agriculture are insane. Like, now is the time for young people to find their mark in agriculture. So whether they be in FFA, in a math classroom, no matter what that setting is, how can we, as through the Allison Dairyland program, have those conversations to get their minds thinking from a young age about agriculture? Again, where does that fit seem to be for them, and no matter what size, shape, or scope? Another thing that I look forward to is experience agriculture as a whole. As I mentioned, I grew up on a dairy farm, and for the longest time, dairy is all that I knew, until I became a state officer and spent 2 weeks on the road looking at all kinds of agriculture, and now I've turned into a cranberry nut. I love driving by the cranberry bogs and having that understanding of different products in Wisconsin, how they're made, how they're processed, and the insights behind the industry. So throughout my year as Allison Dairyland, if selected, I am just going to be a learner along with everyone that I talk to, picking up what I can about the industry and just getting all that I can out of this experience.
Now, you mentioned you're going to be graduating from River Falls, and storytelling was what really engaged you into this. Tell me a little bit about your experiences on the River Falls campus. I went to school there. I know it's a border school, and there's a lot of people in that on that campus now that don't come from agriculture. Did you find yourself already doing storytelling well on campus?
100%. One opportunity that I think really highlights this is through my involvement with Collegiate Farm Bureau at UWRF, I was a co-chair for Ag Day on Campus, which is one of the university's largest activities. To give a little backstory, it engages students across campus and the community to get involved in agriculture. So we hit students of all colleges, of all degrees, just to get them engaged in the conversation of what agriculture is. Mm-hmm. And throughout this experience, it was hard. Being in the College of Ag, it's so sometimes cluttering in your head to think you're in such that agriculture mindset. Taking a step back and realizing that there's people on our campus that don't necessarily understand agriculture, don't understand what we do. And with such a heavy ag population on campus, that was such an impactful event to get them engaged and understand what we do at UWRF.
Another one of the active Alice in Dairyland finalists, that's Katrina Hosley, originally from Denmark, now a student at UW River Falls. Like we said, they will advance to Door County beginning this Friday for their final phase of interviews before their panel of judges and interaction with agribusinesses in the area Saturday evening, the finale in Sturgeon Bay.
Time to get back in the fields again. Whether you need high-quality used equipment to get the job done, or you have planting or other farm equipment you would like to sell, Steffes Group is a nationally recognized leader in the auction business with over 60 years of experience. To find a sales representative near you, or for a list of upcoming auctions in your area and nationwide, visit steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com, your auction leader.
So just a quick reminder for our dairy audience. Don't forget, today is the day that the U.S. Department of Agriculture puts in that special mandate. If you're going to be moving lactating dairy cows over state lines, they have got to have paperwork along with them. USDA gave us a few more guidelines on Friday. They said 30 or fewer animals moving at the same time have to be tested. If you've got more than 30 animals moving across state lines, then only 30 animals totaled have to be tested. Now, the way you're going to do this is you are going to have milk or udder secretion samples that have to be taken from the lactating dairy cattle before they move. Each quarter is sampled and combined into one sample for the laboratory. Submissions must be between 3 and 10 milliliters of milk per animal. So there are some specifics that are in place when it comes to our dairy operators that are moving lactating dairy cattle over state lines effective today. As I've said before, I can't get it all to you on the radio. So the best thing, obviously, is contact your veterinarian immediately if you see movement of cattle over state lines in your near future. On Friday, in our dairy markets, barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent at 177 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 175. The AA butter, quarter of a cent higher, 297 a pound. Now, this morning, as far as dairy is concerned, in Chicago, the Class 3 milk for May, which goes to cheese, is down 12 at $17.91. The June milk closed 11 cents lower at $18.09. Right now, December corn still unchanged at $4.73. November soybeans are up 3 at $11.78. July new crop wheat, that's down 3 right now at $6.19 a bushel. A lot of Wisconsin farmers haven't even opened a bag of seed yet, but they have to be paying attention to growing conditions, not just in Wisconsin, but elsewhere. We've been hearing a lot of reports out of Argentina about something called corn stunt disease. It's dropping corn yields like a rock in Argentina. They're down at least 10 to 15% just because of this disease. Dr. Darcy Talenko is an associate professor of plant pathology at Purdue. She has been keeping an eye on this one. She says, normally in the United States, we don't have real big issues with this kind of disease, but she does have advice for growers if we start hearing more stories from the South.
Generally, we don't see many viral diseases here in the United States causing losses to corn. So I would say not really a disease problem I'm worried about seeing. I would keep an eye out, I guess, if I start hearing more reports out of Texas or Florida, where they might start seeing a little bit more infection since it's already been documented there and they've seen in California. So again, we'll monitor that and we'll keep an ear out with our counterparts that are in those states if they start seeing a problem with it. So I'm hoping it's not a disease that we're going to have to worry about.
Dr. Darcy Talenko, she is an associate professor of plant pathology at Purdue University. Now, so what she told us is that the inoculum has to be present for the corn leafhopper to pick it up, and then you have to have populations of the corn leafhopper with the disease that would spread it through the crop canopy. So very interesting relationship. But again, part of the reason I bring it up this morning is we are seeing a lot more insect flight numbers already this early in Wisconsin, if you kind of keep up on the information being shared through the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Pest Monitor or Badger Crop Doc, you'll see how those flight numbers have escalated because we've got such warm weather that we've been enjoying. Not necessarily real warm today, but temperatures are expected to be in the mid to upper 60s tomorrow, mid to upper 70s. And sunshine, same thing on Wednesday. Coming up next, let's hope the weather is going to be good for tomorrow. Why? Because literally thousands of kids from the Milwaukee area are headed to State Fair Park. We'll tell you why when Tess Kirkson from the State Fair Park staff joins us next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip today for saving on streaming TV. Ever wonder if those streaming companies' whole business model is just luring us in with free trial subscriptions and then making it feel so hard to cancel? Well, spoiler alert, that is exactly what they do. The best way to keep your streaming costs in check is just using some old-fashioned financial elbow grease. Take 20 minutes and have a money meeting with yourself. Look at your bank statements, your credit card bills, make a list of every service you signed up for. And if you are anything like, well, everyone else, there's probably at least one thing you're not using. Cancel it. Anything you haven't watched in the last month, just cancel it. You can always sign back up again. They make that pretty easy. Between now and then, you'll save yourself a bunch of money. For more tips like these, go to workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Take good care.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Youngke here bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
Nightline with Pete Schwaba.
In honor of National Cheeseball Day, what food totally disgusts you? For me, it's anything where cheese is crammed together and soft. Why you would put it all into a ball or a log or a loaf, I don't understand. What about you, Conrad? You got a disgusting food?
I like tuna. It just can't be from in a can. It just has the worst smell in me. I just think it's nasty.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Madison Mallards' Kyle Chisholm joins us to talk all things baseball. Three headlines in a lie. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Manager for the Wisconsin State Fair, and she is also the point person for Ag Discovery Day at Wisconsin State Fair Park. Now, I had a chance last year, Tess, to be at the inaugural event. My schedule is not going to allow me to be there this year. But tell people, give people a little background on why you guys decided to jump all in inviting urban school kids to the fairgrounds at this time of the year.
I mean, we absolutely, no doubt, jumped all in on this project. Back in 2023, you were at the inaugural event. Absolutely incredible. We had about 700 local students, mainly local to the Milwaukee urban area, come out to State Fair Park to experience agriculture. And as, I mean, many people know that Wisconsin State Fair's mission is to be this year-round venue that really promotes agriculture and moves the state forward with positive economic impact in our events. And what we wanted to do was expose this community who's not normally has a lot of exposure to agriculture and seeing where their food comes from, and really get them involved in agriculture. It's such a big priority for us here at State Fair. And we thought with our, you know, the location that we're in, being in Milwaukee, why not take advantage of this? Why not help share our knowledge, our love for agriculture to these students? Mm-hmm. So it started out with 700 students last year, which was a huge hit. We're over 1,000 plus this year. We're having to decline people because, I mean, it's just become such a big event, and it's only going to continue to grow.
I absolutely agree. I remember last year as the school buses were rolling in, and just the pure, you could plug that energy in, we would have lit up all of Milwaukee for a week. So tell people about how you're reaching those kids and trying to help them really understand more about Wisconsin agriculture and where their food comes from, because I learned a lot last year with all the hands-on stuff.
Absolutely. And there's no better way, Pam, than to do it with hands-on learning. So we have the opportunity to bring in livestock, cows, chicks, lambs, all sorts of different animals for kids to see and those students to see and experience while they're here. But on top of that, you know better than anyone else how important Wisconsin commodities are to our state, to our economic, you know, impact, all of that. So knowing that maple syrup and honey and ginseng and all these key things and cranberries come from our state is also a huge part of it. We can't forget about the commodities portion of it as well. We have 27 hands-on stations this year for these students to learn from. Last year we had 22. We've grown in the past year, and I can only see this growing more from understanding, getting people involved on the competitive exhibit side of the fair world and learning about, you know, blue ribbon judging or learning about dairy cattle or the soil. We also work with Milwaukee Area Technical College on some of their urban agriculture that they're working on. There's so many partners in this game now, in this incredible event that have come and helped us build this. It's been such an amazing feeling, especially from, you know, State Fair Park staff, to understand how much support we have in this community for agriculture. So that's been incredibly important to us. It's something we're so grateful for. But they can see all the different elements of agriculture from, you know, we're doing a seeding starter kit and a seed to plant keychains where they can, you know, kind of make keychains with plants and a horse and around station. And then we have fiberglass cows for milking. I mean, they're really seeing a lot of different aspects of agriculture with experts that are living in that realm. It's just a really impactful way for students to learn about agriculture in a completely hands-on way.
Well, it's not just the kids. I talked to a bunch of teachers last year that were equally not just entertained but informed.
Absolutely. We had so many teachers, actually. One in particular, I remember, I think that you interviewed, who was over the moon about being able to see animals outside of kind of that State Fair time where they would, that's kind of the only time they get to see these, you know, animals sometimes. And just having them understand, you know, the differences between, you know, all the different nuances in the ag industry, the ag world, was just so, it was really a unifying moment when you think about it, of bringing these two kind of groups together to learn and in such an open environment and really a way, a risk-free environment where everyone was just really open to learning. So it's a fantastic kind of magical thing that happens here on Ag Discovery Day. We're so proud to be hosting it and so looking forward to hosting it in years to come. And with nearly 30 hands-on stations for students and, of course, the teachers, it just doesn't get any better than that.
No, I agree. I agree. And God bless all the volunteers, all the folks that put in the hard work. And Tess, like we said, hopefully it is a beginning of a long history with the Wisconsin State Fair. And like you said, God bless that State Fair remembers its agriculture mission. I mean, that resonates with us here at the Midwest Farm Report. Always happy to talk about it.
Absolutely. We're always happy to talk about it. Agriculture is a cornerstone for us, and we will never forget that.
Beautiful. Glad to have it. Well, good luck. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Tess Kirkson along with us, Director of Public Relations for the Wisconsin State Fair. The buses start arriving at State Fair Park Tuesday morning, 9:30 until 1:30, and then everybody walks away exhausted. Thanks, Tess. Appreciate you stepping in this morning. Tomorrow morning, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, will be joining us live right here. And rainfall reporters, don't forget, still interested in your tallies for the weekend? That's 877-301-FARM, our Midwest Farm Report. Talk text line, 877-301-3276. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
The nutritional value of soybeans for people and for animals, today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Not that you need reminding, but soybeans are a superfood for people and also for livestock. In a recent episode of the Farm Food Facts podcast from U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action, Mayville, Michigan farmer Carla Schultz touted the animal feed benefits of soy.
I think it's no secret that poultry, livestock, and seafood, that U.S. soybean meal is the best source for that protein and nutrients. And we've done some extensive research on that that says the U.S. soybean meal products contain more nutrients than soybean meal of other origins. We also know it's very cost effective in supplying the 10 essential amino acids that these animals otherwise cannot produce on their own.
Joining Schultz on the podcast was Mark Messina of the Soy Nutrition Institute, who praised the heart-healthy omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids in soybeans.
And if it wasn't for soybean oil, it would be very difficult for Americans to actually meet their requirement for the essential omega-3 fatty acid, linolenic acid. So from a macronutrient standpoint, referring to carbohydrate, protein, and fat, the soybean is really quite unique.
I have links to more information on the show info page at NorthshoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we recap the weekend news events and kick off It's Gonna Be May Week.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
It's gonna be May.
Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
How is your drive to school?
Let me tell you.
I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Saudi Arabia says there's been measurable progress in getting more food aid into Gaza. Meanwhile, ABC's Christian Cordero says there's movement in ceasefire talks between Israel.